Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Look at that. It's just what the doctor ordered. It's more In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and I am here with my friendo, Casey Bubba. You can follow him on the Twitter, at BDentric. I figure this is a nice treat for everyone, right, Bubba? You get a little bit of a bonus. You know, no more takeaways for the Welsh and I because basketball isn't going on. So we are trying to fill in as much time as we possibly can here to keep the people entertained. Do you feel like you're doing a public service with this, Bubba?
A public service could be the right answer. It depends if people consider me a Mother Teresa on the microphone or not. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I know I do.
Yeah. So. Okay. But at worst, I'm taking an hour out of my day to talk about sports. So it's a public service to myself, which is good because all I know is talking about this stuff takes an hour away from listening and reading other garbage in the world that can bring some down. I try to stay optimistic, but I know not everybody can have those same viewpoints.
How are, like, what are the things that you're doing non-sports related as far as keeping yourself entertained during the downtime in the quarantine? I know you still get to work though, because yep, you're in agriculture and people got to eat. You got to make all them veggies. So I actually made a terrible dad joke the other day on your Instagram. What you showed, like, you said, "Don't worry, people, you're gonna have broccoli," and it was like a big field of broccoli. And I asked you if the field of cheese was right next door. So
it was good. I got a kick out of it, but I like dad jokes, so it's okay. But yeah, no, I still work 5 to 6 days a week right now. It's not super busy yet, but it's getting there because, like you said, we got to keep growing the crops and make everybody some food in the grocery stores. So that's killing some time. I do a lot of fantasy stuff, so I was killing a lot of my time. But outside of that, I'm binge watching shows. Either if my wife's not around, I watch stuff that I want. Like, I started watching The Tiger King, which is just bananas. And then when she started watching TV, we started watching Love is Blind, which is actually sneaky good, which I'm proud to admit it is sneaky good.
Now, have you finished Tiger King?
I am in the middle of episode 5, where he's running for governor of Oklahoma, and I had to stop. And all I know is it's only going to keep getting better, because every time you think it can't get better, or actually in reality worse, it does. And I'm just waiting to find out exactly what he goes to jail for, which I'm pretty sure is killing whatever her name is, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's so good. Like, I was really surprised. I'm like, this is going to be, you know, a bunch of weirdos. It is a bunch of weirdos.
It's 100%. That's the capital of the world, it seems like.
But if you just think of this, and this is what I was thinking about the other day after watching it. The guy on the, like, you know, on the screen where you see it on Netflix, his name is Joe Exotic, and he has a buddy who lives, I think, in one of the Carolinas with one of these giant tiger zoos as well. And this dude is a polygamist.
The doctor.
He is a polygamist. He has like 6, 7, 8 women at a time that he's with. And they all work in the park, and he's, you know, I'm throwing up air quotes here, he's married to all of them, and he pays them $150 a week is their salary. They get to live in the houses on the property and everything, and they get all their food paid for and stuff like that. But this guy seems like a complete psychopath, and he is the least interesting character on this show of the main characters, I think.
Well, he's amazing for the fact that he's trying to direct the director on how to do things every time. Like, he knows what's best for the show because he thinks he's King S of the world, which makes me laugh so much. But it seems like between Joe, the guy in like the Michigan area or whatever, they all act like the doctor's the kind of who's who. He seems like he makes the most money because he actually feeds real food to his animals. And he has like his own elephant he rides around town on and all these other things. But the women thing is very intriguing to me because it's like the other lady that didn't agree to be in his harem. She still had plastic surgery. He pays for them all that plastic surgery and get taken care of. But if you don't agree to sleep with them, you basically live in a shack with cockroaches. Or or if you agree to sleep with them, he drives through that one time. They all have their own houses. It's like watching them, you know, I don't even know the exact name
Big
of it.
Love.
Big Love, yes. It's wild what's taking place there. And it's either that or what's crazier, him and his harem or Joe getting married to two dudes at the same time?
Dude, I'm telling you, that's why I said I think the doctor guy is the least interesting. Like, this guy owns, you know, 200 tigers, sleeps with 8 women at a time, and is the least interesting of all the characters in this. Like, that's you could make a whole show just based on that dude and his whacked out life. Yep. But I mean, it's fantastic. I've watched I watched that. I've been watching a lot of Your Mom's House with Tom Segura and, you know, Burt Kreischer.
I need to watch that. Those two are so good together.
It's just fantastic. And then, you know, a little bit of Dr. Drew as well, and a lot of, you know, Prospect Tape I've been watching. So I've been finding ways to keep myself entertained. Now, I did get, and I feel much better today, so I'm pretty sure it's just allergies. But I refused to go out the last 2 days because I woke up with a sore throat like 2-3 days ago. And I was like, I don't think this is anything, because this is when I get allergies anyway, is right now. Like, I get seasonal allergies pretty bad, like right now, and then also in like November, December, that type of an area. And I'm not like, you know, I don't have prescriptions or anything for it. It's, you know, I take whatever Claritin and I'm usually pretty good. But, you know, I didn't think about getting that at the grocery store the last time I was there. And, you know, I woke up with a sore throat and I was like, all right, I better just, you know, not do anything for a couple days. So that's exactly what I did. Yeah, I did
self-quarantine.
Don't want to be part of the problem, but I feel much better today and I never had any fever or anything like that. So I think
it's
I'm
pretty
good.
It's pretty funny you mentioned that, because I got a notification on my weather app that I use all the time that said, you know, pollen levels are skyrocketing right now. And the last couple of days, I kind of felt the same. Like, I'd wake up, my chest felt kind of like strong and I was all mucusy. And I'm like, okay, this is not a good sign. But then I'd shower, take a pill, and then within like an hour, I felt great again. So I was nervous every time.
This is no good for hypochondriacs. I can tell you that at all. It's because, like, anything, you know, you feel sick at all and you're like, is that it? Am I getting it? You know, and you're probably not. You're probably okay. But if you feel anything, you know, that's why we have the self-quarantine, the stay at home.
Hey,
don't
do anything. The bright side, if you think you have it, it doesn't matter unless you have a lot of money, because you won't find out. So don't worry about it.
Right. I saw someone on Twitter, and the Welsh and I went over this on the most recent Secret Show, like the funny side of all this stuff, which I know sounds horrible to say, but if you listen to the show, you'll get the context. But, you know, I saw someone on Twitter say, yeah, the way to find out if you have coronavirus in the United States is to cough in a rich person's face and wait for their results. So
funny. sadly true.
Sadly true. Yeah, there was one lady today I saw talking about how she got her she has cancer and she's going through treatment. So she thought what she had was complications to her cancer, but it turns out it was COVID-19, and she went to the hospital. And the hospital trip cost her $34,000. She was there for 2 days. They ran all these tests to see what it was, because apparently they have to rule out everything before you go to the hospital. And then they ruled out all this stuff, and then they still wouldn't give her a test. I don't know if they didn't have any, but she went to a private lab, got a test, cost her $1,000. And, you know, she knew she had it, and it came back positive. So she's doing okay now, but, you know, now that she's okay,
she's broke.
Now she has no money. So, you know, that's just That's just the way it's going to go for a little bit. But we're here to try to take you away from some of that stuff. And speaking of, injuries and things of that nature, and we saw Todd Gurley. We were talking about it on the Saturday show. Signed with the Atlanta Falcons, Bubba. Now, I've always kind of been a Todd Gurley fan. The knee injury stuff obviously is no good, and I also read today that an anonymous source says, "Look, it's really not good." His knee injury. So he's going to Atlanta on a prove it deal. I kind of like this move for both sides. I like it for the Falcons, and I like it for Todd Gurley as well. But you hear this, it's really not good. It's kind of disheartening. Looking at Fantasy Pros in PPR ranks right now, where they have Gurley. They've got him. Ooh, he's pretty low down here. I think I might have to. I don't think I can find him. Where'd he go? He's at 15. He's behind Miles Sanders, ahead of guys like Chris Carson, Lev Bell, Melvin Gordon, who, of course, went to the Broncos. What do we think about Todd Gurley in Atlanta?
I like it for the prove it factor. It gives Gurley a chance to, because it seemed like he wasn't going to get a fair shake in LA. We saw that, and they didn't want to pay him the money they owed him. So there's two things there. But Atlanta, it's good for them because they get a pretty good price tag on a potential really solid, like maybe back end RB1 if things go right. But as you said, it's pretty scary because the reports do not look good on that knee. And I'm going to ask and sound very, very dumb here, but I heard stuff over the weekend and maybe it's come out since then. Weren't they waiting on the physical? And if he didn't pass the physical, he'd have to go back to LA or something like that. Did that all get cleared?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure on that. Okay. So they cut him so he wouldn't have to go back to LA since it wasn't a trade. So
maybe it was they wouldn't owe him money or something. There's some kind of financial thing involved there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's difficult. You know, they threw a bunch of money at him because he was basically the MVP a couple of seasons ago. I mean, he was an amazing back. He was a number one pick and all that stuff. So it's just weird to see, like, you just can't put it in your head right now that Christian McCaffrey would be done in 2.5 or 3 seasons, right?
No, it would take an injury, which obviously anything can happen, especially to a running back. But it'd be hard pressed to find someone that would say, yeah, you know, McCaffrey is as young as he is, but that workload's been so, so bad. There's no way he's going to be still going strong in 2 to 3 years. It'd be real crazy to think, like you said. But the thing is with McCaffrey and Gurley, didn't Gurley have injuries at Georgia also before he even got here?
Yeah, he did. And
so
that's
pre-existing stuff.
But he came into the NFL and blew it up. So I think that, you know, when you see something like that happen, I think people kind of go, the knee injury at Georgia was obviously overblown, right? Because he came in and he dominated at, you know, the highest level in the world. So he should be pretty damn good to go. And it's just weird to see this. I do like him ending up in Atlanta, you know, with Devontae Freeman gone. So I'm into that. But just, you know, I know you haven't done your rankings yet because it's, you know, the middle of March. So why would you? But just looking at Fantasy Pros, they got Gurley at 15. They got him in at like tier 3 here. And actually, this is from a couple days ago, so let me see if they moved him at all. But would you say
I pulled up the PPR on ADP and he's 25th?
It's on maybe I'm on standard again. No, I'm looking at PPR. I refreshed it. Still has
him at 2019. I'm in 2019.
Okay. So the 2020 rankings.
Let me do 2020. Gotcha.
Yeah, he's still at 15. So he's ahead of Chris Carson, Lev Bell, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram. Are you taking him ahead of those? Are you taking him ahead of those guys?
It's been fun, everybody.
It's over with now. Yep. No coughing allowed. That was just because I needed some water here. But Chris Carson, Lev Bell, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram. Are you taking him ahead of any of those guys?
I'd probably take Chris Carson over him because I'm a big Chris Carson guy, but I could see the argument there. Outside of that, I'd probably roll the dice on Gurley, praying that he's okay, because I do like Melvin, but you still have Philip Lindsay in town and maybe even, you know, a flash of some others there. Lev Bell technically should be better than Gurley, but that whole situation is a disaster. He doesn't want to be there. The Jets apparently kind of don't want him anymore. That's a mess. And then Ingram, he's got so hit and miss because the running back one is not him. It's his quarterback. Right. So I would take Carson over Gurley, but the rest I probably have behind him.
Yeah.
What about number 20?
So Devin Singletary at 20. I think that I'm not going to be in on Devin Singletary this season, at least until maybe after the draft, because, you know, there were rumors about them wanting Melvin Gordon, and I did see that they never officially offered Melvin Gordon a deal. They talked to him and stuff. I was about to say they brought him in, but obviously they didn't bring him in because that's not being allowed right now. But, you know, they talked to him, and he wound up, of course, going to Denver. I also heard that Melvin Gordon may want, like, that revenge factor against the Chargers, which is why Denver was even more appealing to him. But I don't think I'm going to be in on Devin Singletary this year. I was lower on him. I mean, I love the landing spot. I think after the draft, you kind of had to love the landing spot of Devin Singletary. But the fact that they are already talking to people and there's some decent backs that are definitely going to go late in this draft, I think until after the draft and, you know, we see who they bring in and what his competition is, I'm just kind of a stay away. So if you're like, if you're doing best balls right now because you're quarantined and bored, I don't think Devin Singletary is going to be on my radar.
Fair enough. Fair enough. He showed some nice signs towards the end of the season, so I'm curious on where people stand on him.
Right. Yeah, he definitely did. So the other signing that we had over the weekend here was Manny Sanders going to the Saints. I love this one because I think he's going to go to New Orleans and drop in perfectly there. And I mean, fitting with Drew Brees. I mean, I love the fit. What are your initial thoughts on Manny Sanders going to New Orleans?
Initially, I absolutely love it. Like you said, I think it's a great spot for him. He can be a nice shorter target that Brees could like, kind of almost taking – they haven't really had a dominant tight end. Don't even tell me Jared Cook was a dominant tight end. We're going to not talk about that. but Emmanuel Sanders, he'll slide into the slot, so he can still have Thomas on the outside. And then if they go and draft someone with the early picks they have in a deep wide receiver class, he can be the wide receiver too, keeping Manny in the slot. I like it a lot. It really opens up that offense. It might be – tricky for fantasy per se because it's so many weapons, but that's the Saints every single year.
Yeah,
last year was one of the first years where Michael Thomas was that elite guy. There's so many mouths to feed. He's going to be great. They're great for real life football. Maybe has a little bit of fantasy impact.
Now, because he's kind of an established veteran, I kind of say no on this, but do you think it pulls away from Michael Thomas at all?
No. Michael Thomas, unlike the Houston Texans, they appreciate their number one wide receiver.
Well, that is very, very true. And there's also some great memes going on about that. Like, you know, it's awesome when guys are standing in front of things that they destroyed and it's a bunch of, you know, fires going up in the background. So and it's Bill O'Brien standing in front
it's
of
like the Joker and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's too perfect. But we got to hit a break. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about an NFBC auction that happened over this weekend. So stick with us on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm here with my friend LKC Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter. Plug all your stuff, Bubba. What do you got going on right now?
Just staying busy with Bench with Bubba, of course. Still doing some fantasy baseball and some fun stuff. Doing some baseball movies, recapping some drafts, talking about some other alternatives to fantasy baseball this week with some special guests. So we got four episodes planned this week. We're going to keep you busy over there. So go check all that. Benched with Bubba. I'll be doing that. And then just find me on Twitter. I'm writing at Roto Baller and a bunch of other podcasts. So check me out there and on Twitter at BDNTrick.
Black Book still holding up too. I mean, season hasn't
started. Yeah, I figured by this week I'd be over that thing. But no, it still has a lot of legs left in it, apparently. Thank you. That's, I guess, one of the positives of coronavirus. Yes, the Black Book, Team Black Book, as Bogman is a part of Team Black Book. We're still doing fantasy drafts. Once we get a start date, we're going to probably really ramp them up again. And you can definitely use the Black Book for all your fantasy draft needs.
And now, you pointed this out to me. And it was probably because it was tweeted at 8:30 in the morning. And I'm not up.
Pretty sure you were asleep.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a better chance that I see it if it's at 2 or 3 in the morning than I see it at 8:30. So,
true.
But Deshaun Watson had this cryptic tweet, and I don't necessarily like cryptic tweets as news, but when it's something like this, and we talked about Bill O'Brien potentially ruining the Texans, he says, I'm just going to quote it here. He says, "I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams." So it seems like he is not happy in Houston at all. And I think everyone wants to, you know, a lot of people are tweeting about Miami maybe trading a pick to get Deshaun Watson. There is, of course, Patriots rumors because they haven't signed a quarterback yet outside of Brian Hoyer, who right now, you know, the quarterback race in New England would be between Hoyer the Destroyer and Jarrett Stidham. So,
oh,
we'll see who comes out. I mean, if they don't sign Jameis Winston or someone else, or draft someone, you know, there's always possibilities with them. But there's no way. There's just no way to me that the Texans can trade DeAndre Hopkins and trade Deshaun Watson in the same offseason, right?
Yeah, you would think you can't do both, but can you imagine having a disgruntled player like that in your locker room, your number one, your head captain, the whole thing? I've been waiting for this for so long because you when that trade took place last week with Hopkins, I don't know about you, but say you're playing on a team and someone traded the Welsh and you're thinking, okay, we make a great tandem, but what are we going to do now when we don't have the 1-2 punch? I'm not saying you can't do it on your own. I'm just saying put that idea out there. Now, Deshaun Watson, looking at this whole thing, has to be like, wait a minute, boys. Like, we were so close to taking down the Chiefs last year in Kansas City, and now you take my number one weapon. And it took him a while to kind of to get it going, but now he's slowly talking about it. And the cryptic nature of this is fun because it's twofold. It had, you know, Brady's gone and Cam Newton's going to be gone and all these other guys are disappearing at quarterback. Then you got, you know, running backs taking off with Gordon and Gurley and company. So many players on the move. So now he throws out his two cents. Let's things go for a couple days. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be interesting to see where this keeps going because people ran with this in a big, big way. About basically, this is the idea of the future Patriots quarterback. There are odds, Bogman, in Vegas, or at least on this one website on Bet Online, that says NFL free agency, Patriots QB week one. And Deshaun Watson doesn't make that list, but oh no, here we go. Of 2021 regular season, Deshaun Watson plus 450. The only other quarterback with better odds than Deshaun Watson is Jarrett Stidham at 350.
Oh.
So they have Deshaun, it goes Stidham, Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Trask, Dak Prescott. Those are the top four odds or five odds of being the quarterback week one, according to Vegas, who doesn't miss very often. So let that sink in.
Man, I just can't. There's just no way.
That's 2021, though. That's not this year. It's 2021.
I understand. Well, that would be like, okay, they traded Hopkins, and then it went real bad this offseason, and the Patriots have a high pick, and they can flip it to New England, who can – or they can flip it to Houston, who at this point would definitely be in a rebuild. Like if the Texans – if something happened to Watson – or if they were just not that great without Hopkins, because here's the danger in trading a guy like Hopkins. Not only are you taking the number one weapon away from your offense, you know what I mean? You're taking away, you're putting an extra guy in the box for your running back. You're putting in, on some good, nice one-to-one matchups, you're now potentially getting Will Fuller doubled up. And Will Fuller isn't a paragon of health himself. So it's tough to sit here and say that guy is going to be your number one. I mean, right now I'm looking at PPR ranks. He's two spots away from Manny Sanders at 39. So
that's not ideal.
He's a wide receiver three, you know, in fantasy here. And it didn't make a lot of sense. And I know there was friction between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins, but if you're the owner of the Texans, you got to be sitting here going, well, look, I like Bill O'Brien a lot. Bill O'Brien's a great person, and I want to, throw that out first. Yes. Like, he does a lot of great stuff in the community. He's a good human being. But you can't let the egos of your coach outweigh your players. You just can't do it. There's a difference between DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown. You know what I mean? DeAndre Hopkins, if there was friction between him and Bill O'Brien, we didn't know about it, or it wasn't highly publicized. He wasn't going crazy. Maybe he was frustrated, but he was doing it in a professional manner. Antonio Brown is going crazy. So I'm not sitting here saying that, look, you can't let the players dictate your coaches and all that stuff in every scenario. But in a scenario where it's on the back burner and it's not front headline news and all that stuff, you have to, I think you have to side with the talent on the field. That's all. Yeah.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. And so Bill O'Brien, as great of a person as he is, you can't let him destroy something like you just mentioned with the Kansas City. They almost beat the Chiefs, and, the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl. So if they could have held on to that lead, maybe it's them. You never know. So
you know what's crazy about those odds I listed off? Number three, they have Trevor Lawrence, like I said. So basically Vegas is saying it's either Deshaun Watson or they just tank and get the top pick, basically, which is pretty wild to think about the Patriots doing that, or they trade up with their slew of picks. But
you think about starting Brian Hoyer, for a whole season, and, I like Hoyer, but
he's a backup.
Yeah, he's a backup.
He's a backup. And that's what's funny. If you look at the 2020 odds, Jarrett Stidham's minus 130. Like, basically they're saying he's going into the season as the starter week one. You got Hoyer at plus 400. And then these three names, Dalton, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, are all plus 800. So they're giving those three guys odds as well. So it's interesting just playing with Vegas once in a while, because it's right now Winston's the favorite to go to Miami if you want to go super deep into these things, which terrifies the living snot out of me. But there we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy situation going on in Houston, and it's just weird in New England. I mean, obviously Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay has made it nuts for the whole QB market. I still don't really understand it. Although, Welsh and I looked it up, 13 passes was the difference between Winston and Brady last year, which is not something.
It?
Yeah, that's it. It was 626 for Winston and 613 for Brady. As far as pass attempts go, obviously, the air yards and the yards per completion, way different.
And the interceptions.
And the interceptions, of course, way, way different. But it's a weird time for football. And football is dominating the headlines right now because we have things actually moving and progressing. But, you know, we were supposed to start baseball in 2 days here. And, you know, I think in the meantime, I saw you in particular on Twitter talking about this auction draft and or this auction on NFBC. And it looked like it was tons of fun here. And I like this setup that we have. We can kind of go by position here. So I guess what was your initial thought? Because I think you even hit up one of the NFBC guys and you were like, are we going to be able to watch this?
Yes.
So kind of explain the league and how you got to watch it and all that stuff.
Well, what happened is this is the second version. Andy Saxton on Twitter, he's good friends with our buddy Matt Modica at CTM Baseball. And when they couldn't go to the live drafts in New York where they have, like, you know, multiple $1,000 auctions, they still wanted their fix because, like all of us, we love fantasy baseball. And so Andy started these specials where they're not, like, open to everybody. He had, like, people he knew could invite. And then if it needed to fill a couple spots, he would. But a $750 auction tournament, still way out of my price range, but good for these guys. And they did one, I think, 2 weeks ago. And I tried to get in hold of Greg Ambrosius and an NFBC guys, and I got crickets. So then I saw they were doing a second one, and so I went, like, full court press, and I started doing it, and I got other guys involved in it. Next thing you know, I got noticed that they were going to release a link, so anybody that wanted to watch it could watch it. And I figured since I kind of, you know, tried to ramrod this deal, I better at least watch as much as I can because, you know, auctions take a long time. Like, you've been in auctions before. I was pumped on this one. They did every 7 to 8 rounds. They took a 5-minute break. And they finished this auction plus the 5-round reserve rounds in like 3 hours and 40 minutes.
I mean, that, which is insanely that's cooking. Fast. That is cooking in an auction for sure. That's like lowering it down to minimum bid times and nomination times.
It was 20 seconds.
Yeah. Right, right. And the reason that we don't do many auctions on in this league is because it just takes 4 or 5 hours to finish one. And even like, because I've suggested to the Welsh a couple times, like, hey, maybe we should do an auction just off, you know, not live, and then talk about the results. And he's, you know, and for me, most of the time, too, it's just like, well, we just don't have 5 hours to set aside to do it. So I really liked, you know, you in particular were tweeting out about the values and stuff. So I'm going to kind of let you lead this here. So what was the... I guess what was the first one that you noticed that you decided to fire out a tweet about?
Well, the first one, I believe, I'm trying to go off the top of my head here, was I'll just talk about some of the tweets. I can't remember which ones were first, but like the big pitchers went off the board. And one thing I liked about it is a lot of the talk about a potential shortened season. There's the camp that thinks that aces aren't as important anymore. Because guys on innings limits and whatnot kind of even out, where I stand on the front that aces are still important because elite innings are better than mediocre innings. No matter what the innings limit are, there's a reason these guys are elite and these ones aren't. And it was really interesting to see that the pricing here, because you had DeGrom and Gerrit Cole both went for $42, which was pretty darn good, as you'd expect. But then you got a little bit of a drop. Like Buehler went for $37, Flaherty $34, Scherzer $37. Those were the main ones. There's obviously others. So you got a little bit of a drop off of the big two. But I think the first thing I kind of put out there was Justin Verlander went for $26. Oof. And he used to be up there in that $37 Scherzer range, but people are kind of concerned about that hip injury. So I thought that's one of those, okay, you're gambling here because we don't know yet, but all things point to him being ready for a July opening day, June or July somewhere. All things point that way. If he's healthy, this is a steal. But then there's the camp that says he's old and this could be a problem. I think it's worth the gamble at $26 because if you look at, you know, Patrick Corbin went for $28. Would you rather, one of my tweets was, would you rather Justin Verlander at $26 or Corbin at $28, Bogman?
And I'm a Corbin fan and I would rather have Verlander in that scenario because they said the recovery time on the surgery is 6 weeks. So he had the surgery last week. And so we're looking at a mid-May return. That gives him, if the season starts in mid-May, maybe he misses a little bit of it. But I think we agree that our earliest start date that we feel comfortable saying is probably June 1st. So if it is June 1st, That gives him enough time to recover and rehab time and ramp up time. So I think he'll be good to go, you know, starting at the beginning of the season. So I would much rather have Verlander at that cheap price. I'm with you 100%.
And then the other comparison to Patrick Corbin, who I like quite a bit. We'll get to that in a minute, actually. So Verlander at 26, we said you'd have Verlander over Corbin. Strasburg went at 29. Would you rather have Verlander or Strasburg? Two injury potentials.
I'm not a Strasburg guy, so this is a bad question for me. I would much rather have Verlander. I'm just not a Strasburg guy.
Okay, here's a good one. Both injured right now, as we speak, are injured and should, on paper, be ready for opening day. Verlander at 26 or Blake Snell at 25?
Well, Blake Snell's an arm injury. So, you know, I feel – he says he's going to be good to go. I'm actually kind of with either one of those guys that you want to buy. But like you said, you're getting that, you know, mid-30s discount on Verlander for a reason. It's not
yes. –
there's not no reason for it. But I think I'd rather take Verlander at the cheap price on that one as well.
Yeah, no, it's very, very interesting there, and it kind of opened my eyes to the value. That's one reason why I really wanted to pay attention here, is you saw that value, and there's some other pitchers I want to talk about. We'll talk about on the next segment, but the biggest takeaway I had in the pitchers is after that elite tier, you had a ton of like $20 to $28 guys, and then the next level down was a bunch of like $12 to $16, and it's really all mix and match depending on who you wanted, but we'll talk about those guys next time around.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just there's a lot of deals here. I mean, I see a couple deals at the end here. A lot of cheap ones. I like Spencer Howard for a buck. You know,
yeah, now that he's supposed to start the year with the Phillies, it's huge.
I know, that's huge. And our boy the Welsh was the very first one on that too. So because we looked at Fantasy Pros and we were doing our top 300 list, and he was. The OG of having Spencer Howard in his top 300. But we're going to hit a break, and when we come back, we're going to go through more of these deals because there's a lot of good ones on this list, and Bubba did a great job of, you know, trying to keep everyone entertained on the Twitter machine, at BD Entrick. Follow him because he's way more entertaining than me on Twitter. That is 100% sure. So stick with us, and we'll be right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. Endless love. You hear it here. It's going to be here. It's going to be on all the shows, of course, for the final segment of In This League on the Sports Grid, FNTSY, all that good stuff. I'm here with my friend OKC Bubba at BDNTrick on Twitter to follow him. We're talking about this big auction that happened in the NFBC over the weekend, the Saxton Special. And there was we were going over Verlander to his price, and I believe there were a couple other pitchers you wanted to bring up. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, this one was a lot of fun because it was controversial. Some of my I put polls out there just to try to get people interested. Like you said, I was mainly doing this because I've seen a lot of kind of people kind of doom and gloom, and I get we're in hard times, but I think talking baseball kind of brings everybody's mind off things, and then people forget we love baseball for a reason. I can sit and talk it all day. So it makes me all happy. And one of the ones that I really like, the teammates in Cleveland, Shane Bieber, who I've never really been a big Bieber guy. I respect people that like him. He went for 32, and people are buying back into a healthy Clevinger. They both went for $32. And my poll came out to, I think, about 60 to 65% team Clevinger on this one. Where do you stand on these two?
Man, I think I'm going to vote for Bieber in that one. Both going $32. Clevinger has already had a little something. He should be good to go for the start of the season. But I think if you're talking about guys that are somewhat equal, one guy has had an injury this year and the other guy hasn't, I'm always going to be on the side of the other guy in most cases. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not a Strasburg guy, so probably not him. But I think I go Bieber in that one. Fairly close, though. Has to be close.
Yeah, it's very, very close. I'm a team Clevinger guy, but I get the injury thing is very nerve-wracking. I totally understand that one, but I could see the appeal taking a gamble because we won't know for a little bit longer. You might be able to get lucky there. One of the names we've heard like as a huge benefactor these days of the shortened schedule is Jesus Luzardo. And, you know, you look at guys like Max Fried at 15, Zach Gallen at 14, guys that I loved that I had around Luzardo or a little below Luzardo because I thought the innings limit was a concern. Now Jesus Luzardo went for $20. And I mentioned how the prices are kind of different. Like he went for, you know, $2 less than Bauer, a dollar more than Jose Berrios, a couple dollars more than Sonny Gray. So he's getting that bump. He's just a couple dollars below Aaron Nola. So that's the kind of range he's in right now. I think it's an interesting buy. Are you Jesus Luzardo shortened season? He becomes a very solid option guy.
I think you have to say that he moves up, right? And especially, yeah. I think he was a good buy even before a potentially shortened season because Bob Melvin, you know, who I'm not a big fan of, being an Arizona Diamondbacks fan, but he was here in 2001. But Bob Melvin said that specifically him and AJ Puck were not going to have hard innings limits. So innings limits, yes. Hard, no. So it's not like they're going to take him at 150 and say, you're done. It was probably closer to something like 180, which in a shortened season, and your dogs agree with me, that he should be fairly good. If you set him at 180, he's going to play the whole season out on a normal schedule, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. On a normal schedule, he's good to go. So I think we were having this discussion on Twitter actually today is, you know, say we start mid-June or even July 1st. Like you said, June 1st is the earliest. It's probably more like mid-June to late July. I mean, early July. So say early July, that's 16 starts if you don't miss a start. So maybe most pitchers pitch 100, 110 innings. That just takes all these guys right through it for you.
Yeah. So I'm in on Luzardo, and I thought he was good. I don't know, though, like a couple bucks cheaper than Nola. I'm not a Nola guy, but I think I'm still taking Nola in that scenario, right? Even for a couple bucks more.
I think I go Nola, like $2 cheaper than Greinke. I'm not a huge Greinke guy. I take Greinke all day there. Just that consistency with Greinke. One that was interesting to me, if you want to compare these two, are a couple. You know, Luzardo at 20. Glasnow, who's an injury concern at 21. That's an interesting one to me because a lot of similarities there. And then Chris Paddock at 25.
Yeah, I mean, this one is so hard. So Glasnow, obviously, in a shortened season, gets that bump because I feel like he's going to have a harder innings limit. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays do stuff weird over there. So I think if I'm getting a dollar discount, I'm going to go Luzardo. And, oh, God, who was the other one? I just blanked. Paddock, right?
Paddock, yeah.
Paddock. Yeah, Paddock at 25. I think I'm taking him. I'm taking Paddock over Luzardo. I don't like Luzardo a lot, but Paddock showed flashes of dominance last year. And now if he's on somewhat of a normal starter schedule, that takes pretty much 100% of the risk on him out. So, obviously, you never take 100% of the risk off of any pitcher because they're pitchers and at any point they could tear up their arm and go through Tommy John surgery. Like unfortunately we saw with Chris Sale after getting his 9 opinions, he still wound up with Tommy John surgery. But I think I'd rather go with Paddock over Luzardo in that scenario.
Yeah. I'm on the camp of Paddock becomes a lot better. And I've been anti Paddock in drafts. I think I have to start moving him back up now because I was always concerned about no third pitch in innings. He's working on a third pitch. This extra time might actually help him develop it more. So that'll be interesting. A couple more pitcher things, and we'll get to bats here towards the end. But some that stood out to me, we mentioned Corbin earlier at 28. Kershaw went at 28 with no injury or no innings limits. What are your thoughts on Kershaw, Corbin at the same price?
I would go Corbin in that scenario. And I'm not trying to knock Kershaw, and people know I'm an anti-Dodgers and all that stuff because I'm a D-backs fan. I'm really not. But I feel like if their price is the same, I definitely want Corbin, because Corbin hasn't had – he's had Tommy John surgery. He's gone through it, of course. But he hasn't had the, innings limit that Kershaw seemingly has because of his back. And – you know, I don't see this scenario playing out in too many spots, but I think even in a shortened season, and this is me saying this, so, you know, listen up, the Dodgers are just so much better than every team in the West,
yep,
they're probably still going to run away with the division. So specifically, if you're, this is not head-to-head league, but if you're playing in a head-to-head league and the price is the same, I would definitely be going for Corbin, because I think that Kershaw could get rested down the stretch.
And this is why I think auctions are fun, because, you know, we do a regular snake draft. It's ADP. This guy ranks ahead of this guy. But in auctions, you know, it could have been the guy wanted Corbin and then he ended up with Kershaw because he didn't get Corbin. There's so many different scenarios in place, which makes the pricing interesting and it makes for a fun discussion. The last pitcher that I'll bring up today, and if people want to talk about it more, I'm always available. But if we're talking about guys on shortened seasons, this one's interesting to me. I know he's a concern, kind of in the Kershaw ilk. But Rich Hill at $5, Bogman, that seems like a pretty good value to me, at least.
Come on.
I know it's Rich Hill, but he's got like 100 innings. He's supposed to be back midseason, $5.
Yeah, I mean, $5 isn't bad, especially if you have it at the end, if you save some money for yourself at the end by getting a couple guys cheaper here or there, and now you can take a risk on a Rich Hill. I just, come on. Like, I'm so sick.
Would you rather have Hill at $5 or Tanaka at $6?
I'd rather have Tanaka.
Oh, man, you do hate Rich Hill.
I don't like Rich Hill. I'm so sick of the blisters and then him getting his start pushback and all that stuff. I just don't like, look, you take Tanaka for $6. I don't think there's any way he can be as bad as he was last year. You know, if he tears up his arm, he tears up his arm and he's gone, you know, and you don't have to worry about him anymore. It's a cheap price for that upside. I think. Would you say you're guaranteed to have more issues with Rich Hill than Tanaka?
I would say you probably would, yes. If one guy's going to have an issue over the other, probably Rich Hill. You probably are correct there.
Right. So a dollar difference, give me the guy that is going to piss me off less. You know what I mean? Like, I know I could just fire in Tanaka. I can go with him. He's good to go. Even if he gets rocked, which is not good. I don't want him to get rocked. But if he gets rocked, I know he's going to be out there. Whereas, especially in this format where there's no injured list in NFBC, yep, I would rather go with Tanaka over Hill, because I think if it goes south for Tanaka, it's just going to be, all right, let's go get him TJ, get him back in a couple years, and go from there. So, Tanaka for me.
A fun one. We talked about Spencer Howard, another young arm that might come up right away. Rich Hill went for $5. Nate Pearson of Toronto went for $5.
You know, Miles Michaelis went for $1. And I'm not an arm injury guy, but if we're talking about deals, I think he's great. I don't know. Look, I understand that John Gray plays for the Rockies and has a tendency to get blown up and all that stuff, but $2? I think that's a fantastic deal as well. So my guy Adrian Hauser for $2, our boy Josh James for $6, AJ Puck for $1. There are
Freddie Peralta $1. There's a lot of good deals.
Kyle Gibson for $1. Hamels, take a risk on him for $1. There are.
Let's do an auction.
We got to do one, right?
This is why I love this, because I always want to do it. We talked about, you know, the time limit, but if I can be told I can do one in 3.5 to 4 hours, I'm in. Like, let's roll.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is there are some definite good deals here, and that's always like I love peeling back through snake drafts and looking at where guys went and who fell where and all that stuff. But I think this, like, Jake Odorizzi for $4. Are you serious? There are some awesome deals among these pitchers, and I like that we talk so much about pitching here, because it's tough to sort through. You know, it's really tough to sort through. So I like all these pitchers. Give us a couple of hitters, and if we don't have time here, we can always, you know, push it back to the Saturday show as well.
Yes,
but give me a couple of hitters here that you either liked the deal or you thought, you know, whatever came to your mind first.
This one was really fun to me because they went off the board back to back. And like Matt Chapman, huge Matt Chapman guy. He goes for $19. People in Oakland compare him to the old school Josh Donaldson of Oakland, like the same defensive pedigree, hard hit rate, power's there. But we know what Josh Donaldson's done. He's been an MVP candidate at times. He went right after Matt Chapman for $18. That seems like quite the steal. Because if you look at ADPs, Donaldson's usually going ahead of Chapman, but he's a buck cheaper than Chapman. I think that was a sneaky, nice little buy for the Donaldson owner.
That's a great deal. And it brings up kind of this point, and the Welsh and I are going to talk about this tomorrow, and you can listen to it on ITL as well when we talk to our guy John Anderson from Fantasy Pros about, you know, are those injury risk guys, and Donaldson's older, so you'd have to consider him an injury risk. Are those injury risk guys better to take a shot on in a shortened season, or are they worse? Because, you know, if they're going to miss time, every game counts a little bit more. And that depends on how much time, obviously, when the season actually does start. If it's June 1st, if it's July 1st, you know, the games matter more and more and more the more time we miss. So it's an interesting debate to have on those. But I don't think there's a debate in this conversation here. Mm-hmm. It's easily Donaldson is a much better value.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a much better value. And I'm a big Matt Chapman fan, but I'm always Donaldson's not that close.
This is what you get in auctions as well. You get people bidding up their guy because they're attached to him for whatever reason it is. I mean, you know, look, I love Josh Donaldson at $18, but if I could get Vlad at 20 for $2 more, give me Vlad all day long. Give me that risk.
Exactly.
I'll take that.
And then a fun one for me, because we want to talk about guys that are injured and were falling in snake drafts. And he's actually, I did a little boredom today from the 1st to the 13th, the day spring training was canceled, and then the 15th till now on NFBC ADPs, like just rough risers and fallers. I'm not smart enough with Excel to figure all that out. But Eugenio Suarez is a guy that got my attention by watching this auction. He went for $19. He's getting priced into that Vlad, Chapman, Donaldson, Chris Bryant range where he was being drafted before that shoulder injury. Then he fell, and you're starting to see him creep up in drafts again because he was supposed to start DHing this past weekend. He was on the right path to playing by May. Now a June, July start. Eugenio might be healthy. I know shoulder injuries are scary for power, but that could be a sneaky play right there. A guy that hit almost 50 home runs last year.
And they were talking about him potentially even being ready for opening day. That's on Thursday. You know, so I think he definitely would have been ready to go by the middle of April. And now that that's not happening, I think you're absolutely right. And this is part of the thing where, you know, you can do an auction or a draft right now and take advantage of some of the things that are going to get drawn out a little bit longer over the next month or two. You know, there's also a conversation on minor league guys and whether they're better, you know, because it's a shortened season, whether teams are going to want to just put their best lineup in or manipulate service time still and all that stuff. So, I mean, you're making great points here. At third base is particularly a fantastic look here on this one, because, I mean, you still had the expensive guys. Jose Ramirez going for 37, Rendon going for 30. Man, I think that's a better deal too. You know,
that's what's so much fun about it, man. It's crazy.
Devers going for 28. My guy Brian Anderson for $4. I love these third basemen.
Look at Donaldson went for 18. Vlad for 20. Machado went for 23.
Yeah. Machado went for 23, and I'm a Machado guy. But if you're looking at those deals,
the other ones cheaper.
Yeah, if you're looking at those deals, you gotta admit. I mean, it's even like we all know that Jose Ramirez ranks ahead of Rendon for a lot of people. Yep.
And I love J Ram. I'm a big J Ram guy this year.
But you save $7 by taking Rendon. Oh, yeah. I think I'm taking that hit every single time.
Long ways. Hey, let me bring this one up to you real quick, and again, we can pick this up for Saturday. But in the outfield, you had Blackman at 24, Ramon Laureano at 23. He's getting moved up. Victor Robles at 23, but the surprise to me, like there's other guys in that price range, but you got those kind of speedy guys there. Lubob is what I like to call him. He's been moving down ADP boards, and now he's going for $19.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Luis Robert, but I think, to be honest, I feel like that's appropriate. I do, because we just haven't seen.
I was surprised, though.
We haven't seen, especially in an auction, because he's one of those guys that, a lot like Matt Chapman.
People want them.
People want them, so they get bid up more because they're popular, hot, buzzy names. So I think
like that, Tommy Pham went $2 cheaper.
Yeah, you know, and I know a lot of people are avoiding Tommy Pham, but I'd take Tommy Pham.
I'd take Tommy Pham over him every day.
Yeah, yeah. I would take Tommy Pham over Luis Robert right now easily, because we know what we've seen from all those other guys, and Lou Bob is a bit of a mystery. But that has to put a wrap on it for today. You know, hopefully you guys enjoyed this extra bonus hour, and the Welsh and I will be back tomorrow talking to John Anderson. So follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Take it easy, everybody.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.